love the name. We thank you so much for this privilege that we have, and every time we're able to come together, Lord. We do thank you for the meetings last week and each one that participated, Lord, and all that you blessed us with in the word and revelation and in fellowship, Lord, and every soul that put forth the effort, Lord, to make it a success. May you bless them richly, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated now. Good to see each one. And we thank God. Now we as Brother Michael said, we really had a good time in the meetings, and we enjoyed every message. Every message was good. The fellowship was really good, and we appreciate it so much. And there was a lot of work that went into it, and some put in a lot more than others. I feel bad if I'm not in the middle helping. I feel bad, and so when I'm watching other people do most of the work, I feel bad, and because I've been there, I've been in the middle of it, and so we just appreciate each one and everything that you did. May God bless you so much, and we were able to just focus on the ministers and preaching and those things, and so I was so good. I felt like Brother on Sunday morning. I felt like Brother Tiny. I'm not Brother Tiny. I've been thinking about Tiny. I've been thinking about Brother Tiny lately.
Yeah.
You know, I have his picture in my office, and I look at him and I think, man, how long it's been, and what a genuine brother he was. He was the most humble man, the sweetest, loving, just a brother, a real brother. And he helped raise so many of these young boys and took them in and taught them how to be an electrician, taught them different things. And mainly he was manifesting the character of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To them. And so he always spoke softly and just was so patient with everyone. And him and I were best friends, and I said at his funeral that he was a better friend to me than I was to him. He was that way to everybody. He just give himself. We talked Sunday about self-sacrifice. That was him. That was his whole life. His whole life was a sacrifice to serve others, to help other people. And when I was gone on the mission field, he called my wife, or he'd come to the door every day. Every day he checked on her, whatever she needed. And I appreciate it. I didn't come here planning on mentioning his name, but it just came up. And so I want to say also concerning the Easter meetings that Brother Keenan told me Sunday after the meal, and we were having some fellowship. He said, Brother Don, he said, next year we're going to have it at our place. And so I praise God. I thought that was really good. That was a good way to end it. And we were the brothers, when each one had prayed about it and we talked about it, and we really wanted to have it here. Of course, we'd love to have it in our building, but we wanted to host it ourselves and us provide everything. And so for this time, so next time they've invited us there. And so the next time is going to be at our place again. But our place is coming. I want you to be praying about that. I want you to be praying about that. And this, some of us brothers can get some time off and go over and help Michael. We can, every time we go, it makes a big difference. And so we just need to, we're at a good point now. We're there for the trades now, the electrical, plumbing, all of those things, and we want to do it. And so there's another thing that I wanted to get you to be in prayer for. And then I wanted to mention, of course, you know, the Pope died. So he died the morning after Easter. So Easter, we celebrated the resurrection, and Monday morning, he died, I think, at 7:30 in the morning. And so, of course, you know, I don't have any use for any pope, but I was listening to a man, a commentator, and he has one of these podcasts, and he's just an old country boy, but he just makes a lot of sense. And he has a lot of Catholics that listen into him, and he's not Catholic, and he was speaking, trying to speak very level when you know you have many of those people are your followers. And so he said it in a humble way, but he just told him, he said, I mourned with you when that pope went in there because he was the woke pope. He was Joe Biden with a pope hat on. He said, and I didn't realize how much the pope inspired a lot of that, but he said that the pope actually inspired a lot of what was going on here with the Democrats and those things. A lot of that stuff was inspired from that same ideology and tear down the borders, just fill the country up with, you know, all of that nonsense. And then of course, we already had the gays and lesbians, then fill it up with the trans and all, every perversion, anything that's a perversion. The only thing that you don't do is, if you can read it in the scripture, if you can see it in the word of God, you don't want nothing to do with that. But if it's a perversion of the devil, then their arms were wide open, calling for all of it, calling for all of it. And so now the other thing I wanted to, and I'm just taking a few minutes now, I wanted to ask all of you to be in prayer about something I'd been thinking about for a while, and then I've just had somebody mention it to me also, and so I thought I would just bring it to the people, and you be praying about it also, and we get the leading of the Lord on what to do. And that is having some type of service for our youth. And that's not just the youth here, but that's the youth out. There's young people that are listening in. And I don't know how to approach that, but I think if we pray, God can help us with that. I'm still calling you youth. Okay, I know you're grown up, but you're still youth. And not just age, in physical age, but also spiritual age. We have people listening in that are spiritually young in the revelation. And so I don't know if we want to add a service, or if we just want to maybe take like Wednesday night and dedicate that to try to get on a lower level. But I want it, I want it to be all of us ministers to be a part of it, and however we decide to do it. And so I'm just asking everyone to be praying about it. And I think that's our duty. Is to look out for one another, and we love the deeper things, and we heard some deeper things in the meetings, and it was really good. But we also we want to bring up those that are young in the Lord, and so we'll ask you to do that. You'll do that. I do Kenyan style. In Kenya, they're gonna make everybody yes. You're going to raise your hand and you're going to, yes. So make sure they got that across. So, all right. So I think that's everything that I had. But do be praying about that, because I've had it on my heart for quite some time, thinking about it and what we should do, how we should approach it. And I think it'd just be good maybe if, I don't know, if at least maybe start with, if us ministers could get together one night or day or whatever, maybe Saturday morning, have breakfast and just talk about everything that's going on and our vision of how we can help the people out there. And then we can also have a meeting with all the people on the same and discuss those things. But I think it'd be good if us brothers could get together first and kind of narrow it down to what we... how the Lord is impressing upon your heart to move forward in the ministry. And I thought we helped Michael and Amanda on Sunday evening, taking some stuff to their house with Brother Benjamin and Goomba. And then so I took Goomba home, and we had We sat and talked for a little while, and he said some things to me that really pricked my heart. And I'm sure he realizes the depth of what he was saying, but it really, really touched me. And I want us to talk about some of those things. And you know, Brother Gumba, he always, the ministry is always his focus. It's his life. It's his whole life. This revelation, this message, it's his whole life. And I know it is for every one of you, not just the brothers, not just the ministers, but every one of you, every sister, everyone, every one of us. And so we, you know, God's put us in a unique position that these messages are going out and people are listening from different countries. In countries, we don't even know the people that are listening. There's people listening in from countries we don't even know anybody there. So God's doing that. That's nothing we're doing. And so we want to make sure we have the leading of the Lord and do everything that we can. If there's something we can do to make it better, we want to do it. And so that's what I'm talking about. Now, so I want to get into the message now. And I had this thought. I didn't really finish on the Godhead. We spent a lot of time on it. We talked about several avenues and several different parts of it. The one thing that we didn't take completely fully, and that is let us create man. And so, but we did read some of those quotes where Brother Branham said, "Let us." He said, "Who's he talking about?" He said, "The Father and the Son." And so we know who the Father and the Son is. The Father is the Spirit, and the Son is the Word, and the Word can't do anything until the Spirit quickens it. And when the Spirit quickens it, it makes it live. So you got to have both. You got to have the Word. Brother Branham said it's just a word until the Spirit comes. And then it quickens it and it makes it live. And so that's where we're at. So let's just look here. So this title that I'm taking is The Climax Age. And this is part one. I'm going to spend at least a few services, at least four or five services, I think, on this thought. But this, we could really spend a lot of time on it because it's so vast. Because this is the climax of all things. This is it. This is the age. This is the time. It's the climax of the ages. It's the climax of the revelation. It's the climax of the mysteries. It's the climax of the maturity. If we get into the sixth seal, Brother Brandon brings it over and he's talking about the things that are taking place there under the sixth seal. And so it all comes to a climax. And so this was, you know, the whole scripture now from Genesis to Revelation has been Elohim materializing. And so it's gone from one climax to another, to another, to another. But this is the grand finale. This is the best part. And I've said many times, we are so blessed to be a part of this. Because what you are a part of today has never been on the face of the earth. What you are manifesting, what you are believing, what you are a part of in the manifestation of God's thoughts and God's Spirit and God's Word, it's never been done before. There's never been a people that walked upon the face of the earth with the complete understanding that you have, with as much revelation as you have. And we read our Bible and we read those things that happened and we admire them and we get excited about it and we say, whoa, praise God, look at the hand of God moving, doing these things. But this is the greatest. This is the greatest time. This is none of them have what you have. You see them, a lot of things that they're going, and we love the supernatural, we love the healing, we love all of that stuff. And so we see God coming on the scene. But you're carrying something that they wish they could have carried. And that's this revelation. And there's a lot of times you don't need for God to do anything as far as come on the scene and do some super, it's already in you. And it's working through you. And you're manifesting it. You're doing what he had in his mind. You're doing what he wanted you to do. And so it's a great thing. And so let us begin here now in the message, the power of transformation. And we might get just a little bit of a slow start here. And it's going to get to take us back a little bit into the ages. But as it's coming up, as the seven ages are coming to a climax, then that's what's bringing us over into this age. And so, and I was thinking about it today. Actually, I was thinking about it on Sunday. Some of them were talking about their birthday, and Benjamin's birthday is on Brother Brandon's birthday, and Sister Juanita, and somebody else, some other date was coming in there. And I just realized the other day when I was studying, my birthday. So my birthday is December 31st. And that is the day that Brother Brandon preached, "Sirs, is this the time?" Brother Branham said that was his message on the seven thunders. And so I just realized that was I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old when that message was preached. And Brother Branham came up. Just think now, he preached that at the end of 62. In December 31st, 1962, he preached that. And then just a little bit, 1965, am I seeing that right? 62 or 61? I think that's right. Sorry. So I had a blank there. So by 1965, that message, which was a question of, "Sirs, is this the time? In 1965, he said, "Was it exactly right?" And said the whole congregation said, "Amen." It had all been fulfilled. The angels had come. The mystery had come. The seals had been revealed. The whole thing had come to the climax. The whole thing. There he was now, November 1965, declaring that was 100%, "Thus saith the Lord," and been fulfilled, been done. And it was the hand of God all the way through. And when you listen to him in that message, in "Sirs, Is This the Time," which he called his message on the seven thunders, he was scared, he was nervous, he was upset, he didn't know what was going to happen. It was a time of great anxiety. God, what is it? What is it? What is it? He didn't know. And he actually thought it's his death. He thought he was going to die, and the explosion was so great and so powerful. He said it shook the earth. And so just a great time. And so that it comes right into this. Now, so God in his own great kingdom that is to come, we will have a civilization. But it'll not be anything like this. It won't be by science, see? It'll be a faith civilization by the word, see? And now that faith civilization, that kingdom that you have entered into is already faith-based. It's already not based on science. Amen. Now, you're still living in this world, and it's based on science. And so there's two sides to it. It's one thing, that's why I really like what Brother Gumba said the other day, because a lot of people don't balance it. A lot of people don't balance it. But when he was talking about the millennium, and he said, I don't know if he called it two or not. It don't matter if you call it two, because there's two sides to it. There's a spiritual side to it, and there's a natural side to it. And if you take everything Brother Branham said about the millennium, then this isn't going to work. But if you take everything he said about it spiritually, you're already there. You're already there. And so getting both sides of it, it makes all the difference. We don't always do that. Sometimes we're talking, we're taking one side of something. I'm guilty myself many times. And I feel like Sunday I left some things maybe that I could have got the other side. But overall, I was trying to get the spiritual side. And I didn't have any idea I went that long. I had no idea. I went back and I was wondering about it on Monday. And I went back and I looked at the YouTube just to see, because it shows how long this It was a 3.5 hour service. 3.5 hours. I think that was the preliminaries all the way through to the amen. So that was it was a good time. It was a good time all the way through, Wednesday through. It was really a blessing every time. But those comments that Brother Gum was making on the millennium there, I think he mentioned that the millennium means peace. The millennium also means sanctification. And those are the things that we've entered into. We've entered into that great shalom. We've entered into that sanctification. We've entered into that true justification. We've entered into that. Spiritually, we have all of that. And you watch a lot of people, they talk about it. They're 100% in it, or they're 100% not. But the bride is in the middle. She's somewhere in the middle. And she knows where she's standing. And she's standing there by a revelation. She's standing there by revelation. See, this scientific civilization we have is exactly Satan's trap. See, and that's what he has killed people with. This is nothing but the truth. This has been going on. This was in the 60s. This was in the 60s. Brother Branham talked about the cigarettes. And he said, those companies, he knew in the 50s and the 60s, he knew that those companies were putting things in there to addict the people to it. So they would smoke more. He said they put the filter on there, not so you would get less sick or have less problems, but that you would have to smoke more cigarettes to get the nicotine that you have become addicted to. That's pretty smart, isn't it? And that's what they've been doing all this time, all these years. And that's what the government has allowed them to do. If this was God's government, there wouldn't be none of that. There wouldn't be anything that can harm you or hurt you. None of it. You would be protecting your people. You would, they want to drink a soda pop. You say, wait a minute, you know what's in that soda pop?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not telling you that. Can't have your soda pop. I drank one today. So, and we know what it is. But it's one of the worst things.
Amen.
It's one of the worst things you can drink.
Right.
And so I was drinking these protein shakes here, and I got some, and I thought I was pretty happy with it. And I finally got, you know, usually they don't taste any good, and I got one that I like the taste of, and I thought, this is great. And I went and bought me a whole box of them, about 12 or 24 or something. I don't know what it was. And as soon as I bought them, I found out that there's only about one thing in there good for you, and that's the protein.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole paragraph of garbage.
Yeah.
And it's not good for you. And they're still there. And I've had them. And it's, I think they make some that are better, but those, it's like once you know, it's like you're picking up poison. And that's how it is with the processed food. That's how it is with all the garbage that they have produced for us. And I know that we're depending on God, and the only thing you can do is pray for it, but we can cut some of it. We can do our body a little bit of favor. And even saying that, I wasn't even thinking about it, but as we were in the meetings, I started feeling tired just after a couple of days. And I realized, because I do as little sugar as I can, and my sugar, I try to get it from fruit. And I was eating those desserts, and it made me lazy. My energy was going away. And I thought, man, this is terrible. And so when you haven't been on it in a while, if you're doing it every day, you kind of, your body adjusts, and you it's not as bad. But when you haven't had it in a while, and then you eat it, then you regularly, then it catches you. And so science, it's of the devil. Science is of the devil. And science don't care about you. They only want your money. That's all they want. And that's the trap of the nations. That's what they're doing. See, it's exactly Satan's trap, and that's what he has killed the people with. And that's what he's killing us every day with. See, that's how, as we eat each day, instead of living, we die. But they have so perverted everything that you even take just so much of this and mix it with this, hybrid this and that, till it's dying. It's a dying race. And no matter what you try to do, you die. See? You've seen that last picture, the picture last night of those Africans? They never had penicillin. No. Them people live longer than we do. They don't even know. See, germs don't even bother them. See? Why? A germ would throw up its hands and surrender at them. How about that? Yeah. It's because you're tough. Your body has built up an immunity. And he's going to tell us that about the plant life and stuff like that. He said, you look at our plants, you look at our vegetables, you look at the gardens, the shambas that people have, and you look at them, and you look, you got to constantly put something on there because the plant's going to die or the bugs are eating it up. God made it with a repellent. God made it with a repellent so that it could withstand those bugs. It could withstand those things. But what's happened to it? Man has messed with it. And he's messed with it, and he's messed with it till there's no more repellent. And so then what do you got to do? You got to go buy some poison. You put some poison on there, and you put some fertilizer on there, put this on there, put that on there. Huh? Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, sir.
I remember first going to India. In those early days, going to India, Brother Benjamin, you remember going out there in the bush? That water, it looked so bad. It was just nasty looking. They drink it, didn't bother them at all. And it actually took a bit of time to figure out. I thought it was the food that was making us sick. And we figured out pretty fast it was the water. And just so you know how old we are, they didn't have bottled water in those days. All of these conveniences that we have, they didn't have them. They did, thankfully, have, we finally found in a medical shop, distilled water for medical purposes. And that's what we drank. We drank that, and then they had these Italian sodas. And when there's nothing else to drink, you'll drink them, but you'll get so sick of them till you can't take it. But when you're dying of thirst, and another reason that's, and because of those days, I don't know why, how, but it just made me not want my water cold anymore or ice water. I just wanted it room temperature. And I don't know why, it just, but from those days. But you wanted some water so bad. You wanted it so bad. But those people were so tough because their immunities are built up. And I've heard that explained here. Some of the doctors, some of the scientists that are more on the Lord's side, they said that's what's wrong with our children. That, you know, not everybody, but you watch some people, especially during COVID, but some people doing it before. They had this sanitizer, and they're killing the germs in their hands all day long. Everything is sterilized.
Yeah.
Everything is sterilized.
Yeah.
Until you absolutely have no immunity. Because you've so sterilized yourself with everything that goes in your mouth. And it actually happened with Brother Petey Oshibottom. He came over here for like 3 or 4 months. And as soon as he went back home, he was used to drinking clean water. As soon as he went back home, he got sick. He got sick. Of course, after a few days, it was over, and then he was back to where he was. You get back really fast. But it just shows you. It shows you. And I know it had an effect on me because the first year we went was there a month, and I had diarrhea for 3 weeks or the whole month. And then the next year was, I know, sorry, hon. She's going to tell me too much information. Anyways, the next year was 3 weeks, then it was 2 weeks, then it was 1 week, and then it was 3 days. So something was happening. So something was building up an immunity against it, even going just once a year. Of course, in those days, sometimes we go twice or three times. But sorry for that extra. But there's no easy way to say it. But it's just the truth.
Amen.
So, all right. So they haven't, see, we take science, they figure it out like penicillin or something. See, they take the disease out. and it tears down something else. And it makes a bedding ground for something else. And now he don't do that, see? I know you, most, some of you here remember Brother Gene. And Brother Gene had a terrible car accident, and he was just blowed up. They had him open for months. They didn't know if he was going to live, but they had him in this isolated place in the hospital down in the basement. And it was just, I don't know, it was almost like a guinea pig because they didn't know. But his just was blowed up, but they had to leave him open because they were working on him constantly. And then after he got out, the Lord healed him, and he said later that it was his rebellion that he was went back into the world, and God was bringing him back. And so God brought him back. I was very humble brother, sweet brother. And he was actually, for those of you who don't know, was Sister Brenda's husband. And so I think they were both widows, and then they got married. And so anyways, they started him on the medicine. He had to certain things he had to have to live. And so one time, he told me one day, he said, "Brother," he said, "I take between 20 and 30 pills a day, medications, a day. And I said, "Brother, what could you possibly have to take that many medications for?" And he said, "Well," he said, "these four, I have to have them to live." And he said, "Then I have to have those two to offset the side effects of this one. And then I have another one to offset the side effects of this one. And then I have three to offset the side effects of this one. And then I have some to offset the side effects of this one." And I thought, what a death trap. What a death trap. These, there'll be a special place in hell for these pharmaceutical companies. I'm telling you, they have destroyed the people. They have destroyed the people. They and a lot of the doctors have fell right into the trap. The doctors fall into that trap. They're not trying to help you not get sick. They're trying to get you on that medication. Anything they can get you on, that's what they want to do. And the only thing, you know, sometimes the only thing you need to do, like with me, is just about 20 pounds would do it. Just about 20 pounds off would make the difference. It'll do the blood pressure. It'll do the sugar. It'll do some of those most vital things. And that's my problem. As you get older, it gets worse and it gets harder. And so if you can get it while you're younger, it's going to be better for you. Now, many of you people come from farms. And anyone knows that a good, healthy plant, this is 112, never needs to be sprayed. It's got a repellent on it itself of life, a germ that don't even get on it, see? A real healthy plant, see? But this hotbed stuff, see? This hybrid thing, plant that you have to baby it, pet it, baby, petted it, see? And that's what man has done. That's what our science has done to us. They have tampered with everything, hybrided, messed it up, see? And then he goes 113. Now, some of you Westerners here, look back in the time of the old longhorn cow. Today you got a better beef, see? You got your Hereford, you got your Angus, you got all those different ones. They're supposed to be so much better, better beefs, better all this. But he didn't have the ruggedness, didn't have the toughness. Brother Branham said those longhorns, they could let them out there and they could winter long just out there in the bush. They'd eat the leaves off the trees. They'd make it. They might be skinny. They weren't the prettiest thing, but they managed. And Brother Branham, 114, he says, "This Hereford here, you pull hay under him when you take his pitcher, up to his tummy nearly, see? And to show that he's beef plumb to the hock." And this brings back memories of when I was in high school, because that's what we did. We raised an animal for FFA, with Future Farmers of America, and that was a group. And so you would raise an animal, and then they would have a livestock fair, and these local businesses would come in and buy your animal for like two or three times the price that it was worth, that you could get, you know, you would get on the market. But they did it to promote the youth coming into to the farmers and doing those things. And so we'd raise an animal, And so I watched them, most of them with the cows, was going to be the Angus or the Bringus or something like that. And he's talking about the hay. And that's what they would do. They would just fluff the hay up until it come all the way up to its stomach. And it looked like it's just nothing but beef. It's a beautiful picture. But Brother Bram said, you let him loose out there in the wintertime and he'll starve to death. You got to baby him and you got to pet him and you got to feed him and you got to give him a shot and you got to worm him. And then you got to dip him. We dip them for insects and fleas and ticks and all of that other stuff. They got to be babied and petted. And he said, that's the way, 115, that's the way today with our Christians. We got so many that have to be soft soaped to beg them and put them and make them a deacon in the church or pat them on the shoulder, make them some great position in the church. See, if you don't, why, he won't come. See, if you don't let this one do this and this one do that, see, it's babying. It's petting and babying. If I don't get a position, I watched a young man take a lot of the young people from here, and that's exactly what he did. He made them deacons and trustees and those ministers, and he just gave everybody something to do. So they all feel, and it's good to take a part, but let God put you there. Let God lead you and guide you and get you into that position. And there's a place for everybody. There's something for everybody to do, no doubt. But when that's your purpose, to make people feel obligated, or when the people come and they feel like, if you don't say nice things about me, if you don't tell everybody what I did this and I did that, if you don't keep telling everybody what a great person I am, I'm not coming. There's too much of that. There's too much of that. It's not just in denominations now. It's coming over. Those same spirits come right over into the message. Some of them, they come out of that Baptist and they got a Baptist spirit preaching the message. And they got a Pentecostal spirit and they're preaching the message. And they got a Presbyterian spirit and they're preaching the message.
Right.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? Let me back up. We got so many. Pat him on the shoulder. Make him some great position in church. Okay, it's baby. 16. Could you imagine genuine Christians being that? They were rugged, see? They were burly. Could you imagine St. Paul being that type of a Christian? Could you imagine St. Peter now? Now, if you don't make me a general overseer, I don't know. See, I might go join so-and-so. They were rugged men. They were men of faith, see? They lived with God and they walked with God. And they were men of few words. They served God day and night, constantly, see? You didn't have to spray them and baby them, offer them this, that, and the other. They were men. They were rugged, see? They were genuine seeds, not hybrid denominations. Praise be to God. We need that. We need that ruggedness. We need that toughness. We need to not need or desire or want to be babied. We need to realize that we're walking with God, that we're walking a path with God alone. And God enjoys seeing us go through times of pressure, through times of trial, through times of trouble, because that's when He's expressing His life in you. That's what He's letting it happen for. The brother Michael said that the other day about... What was that you was talking about? There was a conversation somewhere. Was that you talking, saying that? Yeah. You were in a conversation somewhere. Remember when Satan came up before God and said, and God said, Satan didn't come say, oh, look at this guy. God said, have you considered? That was as good as sicking him on Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, oh, yeah, but you got to hedge around him. You let me have him, and he'll curse you to your face. Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. He never cursed him. He said, let me die. His wife said, curse God and die too. That was the devil talking, wasn't it? That's exactly the devil talking. He wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. God was proving his seed. Yes, God was proving the word of the day, living in the children of the day, right there, Amen. Proving him. Yeah. And he's doing it today.
Right.
He's doing it today. That life is in you. And the thing that is going to help us, the thing that will help us is when we recognize that every day.
Amen.
When we recognize it every day, and you can wake up in the morning and say, I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God, and I'm ready for God to do whatever God wants to do today.
Amen.
I'm ready for the challenge of the day. I'm ready for it. And you, and at the same time, we know we are not able. We don't have the strength or the wisdom or the might. We don't have anything. It's going to be 100% Him. 100% Him working the work. But the one thing that you have, as I said earlier, you have this revelation living in you. And you know what is truth. And that right there, that alone will take you above and beyond.
Amen.
Oh my, I like that. Do you ever read your Bible? You ever read your Bible and you read about those great people back there and the supernatural things that was happening and the struggles they went through and God delivering them? And you ever think, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that. You are.
Amen.
But you're in another day.
Yes, sir.
And don't think that they didn't have anxiety and that they didn't have nervousness and that they didn't have doubts and that they didn't have struggles. They had all of it.
Yes, sir.
They had all of it. Those three Hebrew children said, we don't know.
That's right.
We don't know if he'll deliver us.
Amen.
We know he can, but we don't know if he will. But it don't matter. It don't matter whether he does or he don't. We are not going to bow. We're not going to bow. And that's the same revelation you have. 117, if you, the Methodists don't treat me right, I'll go to the Baptists. And the Baptists don't treat me right, I'll go to the Pentecostals. See, if they don't treat me right, I'll go back to the Catholics or whatever more. See, it's a hybrid. Have to keep them sprayed. See, yes. Dr. Reverend so-and-so, see, that ain't Christianity. And that's the same spirit that's in the message today.
Yes,
it's the same spirit. And we can't let it get on us. We can't let it. We've got to stay a separated people from the things of the world, from the cares of this life, and keep our focus on Him. Keep our focus on this revelation and nothing else. Let the rest of it go. 118, Christianity asks no titles. It asks no favors. It only knows God. It's original seed. It loves God and it loves one another. Praise God.
Amen.
And there's no spraying on them and no babying them and no patting them around saying, well, yes, well, this sister, I think it's all right for her to have short hair. This one not. See, there's no such stuff as that. Let them get by with this. It's rugged. It's the gospel. Lay it out there, see? Let it fall where it will fall, see? And Christians love it. Huh?
Amen. That's right.
When the preachers get too lazy and too weak to speak the truth, then Satan has deceived them. Because a true Christian, they love it. You say, oh, well, that's too hard. That's hurting. They love it. Because it's truth. And when it's truth, when this mind gets off a little bit, it brings this mind back.
Amen.
And when this flesh gets off a little bit, it brings this flesh back.
Amen.
It keeps it under subjection to the Word of God.
Amen.
And Satan can get us out in little things here and there. And it's his job. That's what he works on. Daily, he works on it.
Amen.
No, he's not going to take you to the bar room. He's not going to take you to some of these other places. But just, he's going to work wherever he can work.
Yes, sir.
Wherever he can get. That's where he's going to work. He knows your weakness, and he's going to work on it.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said, that's why you cover it up.
That's right.
Somebody was talking about that woman that had got delivered from dancing. And so she loved to dance, and she could go dancing every night. That's what she spent all of her time. And God made a Christian out of her and delivered her from all of that. And she's walking down the road, and she hears that beat. And you ever be in a restaurant, and you know that's worldly music, and you start, oh, I did it a bunch of times. Those were the songs that I listened to when I was a teenager, when I was, I know what they mean. I know they're not any good. But you'll find yourself tapping. You might even say a few words. And so she's walking down the road, and that thing hits her. She hears that music. And immediately, those spirits come on. And remember, when that woman got delivered in the Bible, then says that they go in dry places. And that spirit doesn't come back by itself. It comes back with seven more. Seven more. Powerful. That's what happened. And that's what we can be hit by when we get in those places. What that woman needed from then on was, if she knew that dance hall was on that street, don't walk down that street.
Right.
Stay as far away from it as you can stay away from it.
Yes,
don't go where you know.
Right.
You know that there's a problem there.
Yes. That's right.
I remember one time I was in Uganda, and I was having meetings out every night in a brother's place. And so every night, they didn't want to drive all the way in town. Or no, they would. I take that back. There was times they didn't want to because the traffic was so bad in Kampala. But there was a place, when we come back late at night like that, there was only one place open where I could eat. So it dropped me there, and then I would walk back. And so I found out that there's two streets. As I was coming up the road, I turned into town. There's two streets I could come. And on one street, it was dark, and there was houses of ill-famed women on both sides. And on the other street, it was quiet. And so if you know what's there,
yes, sir,
then you go the other way.
Yep.
You go the other way.
That's right. 119.
Must I be patted on the back and this and that and the other and babied? I expect my place out yonder with the rugged. I expect not to come up there with no trophy scars at all. You know what a trophy scar is? Yeah, the men know. When there's even a song said that women loves men with scars. It's representative of, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, that's a worldly song, what I'm saying is, if you get this scar from fighting for the Lord, if you get these stripes,
yes, sir,
for standing for God's word,
amen,
it's a trophy.
Yes.
It's a trophy,
yep,
when you're standing for Him. And one man in the Bible that always stood out to me in the Old Testament, and I don't remember what his nationality is. You probably remember, but he wasn't a Jew. When David took his wife, Uzziah, and David brought him back so he would sleep with his wife and then think that that was his child and not David's. And that was the plan. But that man was so righteous. He was so righteous, he wouldn't even go and see his wife, because the armies of the living God were in the battle. And he was wondering, why am I here when I need to be there fighting? I need to be there with the armies of God. And I thought, that kind of righteousness is hard to find. But that was a man who knew that he belonged there.
Amen.
Protecting this nation, protecting this king, protecting his wife, protecting his family.
Amen.
That's not how a woman thinks. That's how a man thinks. That's how we should think. And as Christians, that's how all of us should think.
Yes, sir.
That we have a duty. We have an obligation to God. We have an obligation to this message. We have an obligation to stand for what's right.
Amen.
And not be caught up in nonsense. When people are wasting your time with nonsense, don't go there. Don't let it waste your time.
Amen.
Uzziah, his righteousness is what caused his death. But he was ready to die. He was willing to die, and he did die. And it was a righteous man that caused it. That caused another righteous man to die. Every time I read that story, it's an awe of the character of that man.
Amen.
I think that was a great man. That was just a bad thing David did. The bad thing, and I love David. I love his whole life. I love his character. I love his worship and how he loved God and how he served God. He made a terrible mistake. And it cost a great man his life. 121. Now we find out that he sprayed this poison spray, and that spray was a spray of modern understanding, education and science and civilization, huh? What was it? Modern understanding. The very things that we cherish so much. See, did you ever stop to think that our great enemy in the natural life today among the nation is communism? What is the god of communism? Civilization, education, science. That's right, isn't it? See, this was back in the 60s. There was a big thing going with communism. Communism was trying to take over, and there was a lot of spies. There was a lot of things that was going on in these days with communism. And so there was a great hatred and a lot of things. Now, see, with the poison spray of this modern civilization and science and education. Now, let me prove to you that education and civilization come from the devil. Now, let's turn back here and see. Now, if you want to, Genesis 4, the 16th verse of the 4th chapter, see, you people that follow these tapes, our brother here, you've heard me preach on the serpent seed. And it cannot be denied that was opened up in one of those seven seals. It was hid. Isn't that interesting? I don't know any seal that he preached serpent seed. But that mystery was opened up in there. That's what he said. That mystery was opened up in there. And he even said that he put it in the first church age as it continued to unfold. But that thing was being revealed continually. Because he had been preaching that it was adultery for 30 years. He knew what happened in the garden. But that thing, it had to come to a climax. It had to come to the climax of the fullness of the revelation. And that's what was taking place. And from the time the seals, it was building up to the seals. From the time the opening of the seals, then it just continued to unfold the thing and bring it to the fullness of the revelation of all that it was. See? Now, 124. Now, if children has come up under that kind, see, under that kind of teaching, that's what their parents was, see? They have the nature of their parents, their denomination, see? And so forth. They have to believe that. See? And they believe that because they're born under that parent. That's exactly right. Brother Bram talked about it when he talked about the whore in Revelation. He talked about her harlot daughters. And he said, when they girls come up under that, then that's the kind of life, that's the kind of character that they're going to have, that they're going to display. And that's what's the weakness that's happened in these last days. And a lot of it came from people lived a hard, hard life. And that you can see some of these things a lot better in other countries. But it was here also. It just was further back. So the only thing happened is the same thing that's happening in India, Africa, these other countries, it happened here too. You think it's always been prosperity. It wasn't. There was a time when people were poor. There was a time when people were starving. There was a time when people were selling their children because they couldn't feed them. There was a time when it was hard. Life was hard. And so the problem is that that hardness, that it builds character. When you do without, it builds a character. And so then those people, as they come up from that, and God began to bless them, and they begin to get something and have more, and then the prosperity took over. And it got more and more, and it got to where then the children had nothing to do. And the parents wanted it naturally. Now, this is that loving parent, wanted the children to have better than they had. And you don't want your children to have to suffer like you suffered. But don't take it all away, because that's what made you what you are. That's what made you durable. It's what made you tough. It's what made you trust in God. It's what made you depend on Him. And when you take all of that away, then you're just like jellyfish. You don't have anything there. And it just got, people got softer and softer and softer. And then Satan got in these colleges, and these kids come in there, and the best word I can come up with is worthless. They become, what do you call it, entitled. They become entitled. Everything's an entitlement. They don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. Everything's paid for. I wish I could remember the percentage of the college students that graduated college and they're living at home. They're living at home. It didn't used to be that way. But when you grow up, you got a job and you started a family and you lived on your own. And now there's a great vast number of them. They're back home because mom and daddy is supporting them. Oh, and it actually gave a number, a dollar amount. I don't know how they get this stuff, but said that group of people, that their parents spend at least $1,500 a month on them, supporting them. At least $1,500 a month. I don't know. That's taking care of everything, because you're already living in their house. You're already eating their food. And so what are you going to do with $1,500? And they're already taking care of everything. That's pretty spoiled, if you ask me.
That's right.
See, but now we want that in the spiritual too now. We want it in the spiritual. They want to do everything for the people. They want to give you their revelation. They want to give you some position. They want to give you something in the church. Something, you don't have to do anything, just... This shocked me when I came in the message as a young Christian. It shocked me. And I was in my 20s during that time. And I found out that the denominations, that many of those ministers, that their Sunday message comes from headquarters. It's actually sent to them. It's sent to them. And that's what they preach on Sunday morning, is what headquarters has told them or give them the outline. So they're sent this outline of scriptures and thoughts and whatever. And so they study on that for the week, and then that's what they preach. That's what they preach. And so it's being in all their churches all across the nation. This is what it is. And some of them are even run off when they want to come with their own sermons. They have to go somewhere and be an independent or something, because they... You're going to think their thoughts. You're going to believe their ideas. You're going to do those things. See? But today, we're not born under that parent. Our parent is the Word. See? Our parent is the Word. Praise God. And the Word will say, I was born under God too. See? For that age. But this is the climax age. See? This is the age beyond those denominations. This used to hear it a lot during Pentecost. And I think this could probably relate, is going to relate anywhere, any country. But the older generation, they were genuine and they believed God. Those old Pentecostals, they prayed, they believed God. They took all that God had gave in that day. But then God sent a prophet and he began to reveal more. And he began to reveal more. And so there come a time when you couldn't stay back there in that. That was okay. It was the word of the age. It was all right in Luther's day. It was all right in Wesley's day. It was all right in the Pentecostal age. But every time there was more being added and added and added. God was building. God was building up to this climax when he was going to bring the fullness of the word and the fullness of the Spirit. It was coming. Amen. And so there comes a time when you can't be born of the parent of Luther's day or the parent of Wesley's day. Right. You can't be born under that revelation anymore. That was okay for grandma and grandpa way back there. But now we have a different parent. And your parent today is the word. Amen. And that's the age we're living in. We're living in the word age. Brother Ram said a lot of different ways. That's where we are. Amen. We're living in the word age. He said we're living in the bride age. He said that six times. And we're going to read every one of them. He said we're living in the climax age. He said we're living in the rapture age. We're living in the word age. That's where we are.
Yes, sir.
This is the climax of it all. This is the greatest time. See? You say, well, I was born under God too for that age. But this is the climax age. See? This is the age beyond those denominations. There had to come forth, must come forth. God ordained it so. There must come forth, them seven seals must be opened. And it was supposed to be done in this Laodicean age, and I think beyond any shadow of a doubt, not as we brag, we have no brag, only on Jesus Christ, none on us. We only brag on Jesus Christ. But we are thankful for the privilege of knowing beyond any shadow of doubt,
amen,
God has chose us in this last days. And has proven it by the signs in the heavens and in the earth.
Amen.
And every one of them come right straight back to the word. Praise be to God. God has proven. God has chose us in the last days. And you're born by the word of this day.
Amen.
You're born into the climax of the whole thing that God had in his mind, what God was planning on doing. You were born right into the middle of the greatest thing that ever was to be. And you carry it with you. You carry it in you every day. Every day it's living in you. I want to read that again. God has chosen us in this last days and has proven it. He's proven it by signs in the heavens and in the earth. And every one of them coming right straight back to the word. Everything that's come through this message, it's always went back to the word. Always went back to the word. And that's the thing that holds you when people are coming and people are going and people are in and people are out. The thing that holds you is because this thing goes all the way through. It always goes back to the word. And that's the thing you're looking at.
That's right.
And the others can't see it. But God chose you to see it. That's what he's saying.
God
chose you to be that manifestation in this last days. That's what he chose you for.
Amen.
He predestinated it before the foundation of the world. He didn't just decide it. Remember, God can't add to his knowledge. And Brother Branham said all those names on the book, they were put there before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
they weren't waiting until you decided.
That's right.
He wasn't waiting until you decided. No. He already decided because he already chose you. And then you weren't even going to be able to come because you might have came too early. You might have got convicted when you was young, sitting in the church, and might have got convicted and said, oh, I want to be a Christian. No. You couldn't even come until he drawed you.
That's right.
You could sit in church all you wanted to, and you didn't even have no desire.
Amen.
Until he drawed you. And when he drawed you, and then you wanted to go do something else, you couldn't do it.
Right.
You couldn't do it.
Amen.
He had full control. He had that magnet that just, when he turned it on, it just started pulling you. And no matter how much that you tried to go that, it just kept pulling you. And you couldn't fight it. See? To prove that it's so. See, every one of them coming right straight back to the word. To prove that it's so. This age that we live in. The message And how it is he? We're not a cult. We're not a bunch of fanatics, see? We are servants of God that's been called by the Holy Ghost. You'll have all kind of names tacked to you, but that don't mean it's so. Praise be to God. Amen. It don't matter what they call you. It doesn't matter. You're satisfied. You're satisfied in Him. You're satisfied with Him in all things. And it's not going to be a bed of roses, but it's going to take a group of people that is willing to pay the price no matter what. Amen. And Brother Ranham said, faith needs to be rugged faith. It needs to be tough. It needs to be durable. It needs to be willing to stand against everything Satan can throw out there. And just as we don't get all of the cushion of this life, and we don't care about it. Amen. We care about one thing, and that's Him. Yes. And that's Him. And we thank God. We thank God so much. We're going to ask you to stand together with us. Now, I didn't get very far, but we're getting started. Amen. Just trying to make a little bit of a foundation here. But he declared right here, this is the climax age. This is the time. And he's going to tell us a lot of things. And I just started listening to the sixth seal. Brother Benjamin and I going down the road yesterday. And Brother Renner brings in a lot of things in that message. If you have a chance, you can listen to it. And I know it'll bless you. So it was the finish. The four beasts were finished. The souls under the altar were finished. The 144,000, the whole thing, everything, it comes right into that sixth seal. And Brother Branham said, nature took a tumble. And so God was going to shake the whole thing up. And so it's all coming into that climax. All coming into that climax. So I'm going to, Brother Gilmore, will you come? And may the Lord bless you. Each one. And I'm going to say once again, I really enjoyed the Easter meetings. It was so good. Amen. That was so good. Praise God. God bless you.
Praise be to God. That's good. Thank you very much, Brother Don. And once again, I would say, really enjoyed the Easter meetings. The spirit there, the word, and everything. It was great. It was very, very good. Really enjoyed. And you know it's God when you know, when you see the word coming forth, the depths of the word and the spirit. Because I've always thought that it's very important to have the spirit and the word together. That's God. That's God Himself right there. Because God is spirit. And the word, so that's what made it so good. And you could see the people, that the people were very happy. And another thing is, when it's over, people don't even want to go. They're there, they want to stay. And I'm wondering, Brother Don, Brother Kenan said that you got to have it maybe next year at his church, and maybe next year in our church, next year that. I think it should come to a time when we all be together, always. I mean, it seems like that. Yes. We are deciding to be together. And those gates should be crushed. I mean, those walls should be crushed. And let the children of God be together. Amen. And there's a scripture a lot of worldly people talk about. I think it's in Jeremiah. I don't remember. It's in Psalms. I think it's Psalms. I don't remember when it's in Psalms. But that God loves when the children, when brothers live together. Yeah. Yeah. And down there it says that God commands a blessing upon those people when they live together as brethren. And that's true. And that's true. When people live together. And I think it's Don who was talking about it in the convention there. It is different. You may think that you're listening at home. It's different. It's different. It's different. Yeah. There are a lot of scriptures that goes with that. When people are together, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. when you gather together, three or two or three together, He will be here. So He's here. Yeah. He didn't promise that when you're listening at home with your phone. He didn't promise that. There are promises that goes with us gathering together as one.
Amen.
That we love God.
That's right.
A group that loves God, there's a promise that goes together.
Amen.
And you can see they were together in one accord, in one place. And when they prayed, they had a shock. It's not like Peter was praying around someone. No. There's something that goes when people in love, in one accord, that love one another, that love this God, that are in this one, when they are together.
Yeah.
There's something that goes with that. So we encourage that we continue praying, even for those who are brothers. We love them very much. And we know they are our brothers. Whatever it is, it is. God will bring it to pass, whatever he wants. But we just leave it at that. We are not trying to persuade anybody to come. No, we are not trying to do that. But we are praying. That we are praying for them, they are praying for us, we are one. This wall, I don't know who put fence here, there's a fence down here, the fence between Brother Don's and that. That will be broken one time, and maybe they'll come here or we go, whatever. But they are our brothers, and we love them. And let them know that we love them, and we are one. We believe that we are one. We enjoyed, we really enjoyed that. One thing I would like to say is, Brother Don said, I know you're studying, so I'm just going to say this and go across. Is that Brother Don is saying that, and that's true, that when God called you, he pulls you. You don't know why. You even don't know it. Sometimes you want to go back there. He brings you back. He keeps on pulling until you find yourself now where you are. You are here in the climax. I'm saying that in the sense that God has revealed new things that there are very many people who decide and they don't have it. Even in the message churches. I told you I was in one of the message churches here. And you go there, you love it. You love the people, the way they are worshiping. But you look at it. They're not here. They're not here. God has really blessed us.
Amen.
God has pulled you from. And sometimes you are very stubborn. You sister, you brother, you are very stubborn. And then he does it anyhow.
Amen.
Because of his love. You refuse, he pull, and you got to be here. Because this is where you belong. And God has got to keep you here. And,
amen.
And you would praise him for that.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to say opposite of that, Brother Don. If you come to a place where God, you know, he draws the line that you are over, it's over with you. The prophet said, you don't even want to come to him. You don't want it. Nothing is putting you there. So something is putting you backwards. You are reading the word and it's still putting you backwards. That shows his love to us, brother. That shows his love to us.
Amen.
So he loves us. He loves us. That thing that is putting you is because he loves you.
Amen.
And there's nothing we can do other than to thank him and say, sometimes you don't even know how to thank him, brother. No. He's so sweet. He's so good. When you realize what he's doing, then you just, the only thing you can do is just give yourself all. You just give all yourself to him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, that is true, that Lord, what you've done, Lord. We were stubborn, Lord God. We didn't want to come, Lord. Just as you should say at the Garden of Eden, Adam was hiding. Adam was running away, Lord God. They were running away. You followed them. You followed them, calling them, Lord God. Like, it's like you didn't even know where they are. It's like they didn't know that you are God, and you know where they're hiding from you, Lord. And so, Father, you searched them, and that's what you've done to us. You've searched our hearts. You followed us, Lord God. When we are in doubt there, Lord, where nobody even could come for us, Lord, you came down there in that doubt, Lord God, and you came for us, Lord. And even when you came here on earth, Lord God, you are sinless, completely sinless, Lord God. But Father, all our sins, all that that we had, all the uncleanliness that we had, Father, all the mankind has done wrong, many things, bad, Lord, they're all put on you, Lord God, because of your love for us, Lord. We therefore thank you. That's all we can say, thank you. Another thing we'd like to say is, help us. We are weak, Lord. Help us to surrender and to give ourselves to you, Lord. That we wholly be thine, Lord God, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.